Perfect. Thank you very much, Philip, and thank you to all our speakers. And now we have still 40 minutes for questions. We already got a few through our chat. Please, if there is more, write them to our chat or via Facebook chat as well. The first one is for Didi. So, Didi, let me read the question for you. The question is about does sharing the fruits of free thoughts in the universities in the democratic world with an authoritarian state violate the principles if it strengthens the political power of the communist regime? That's the question. Didi, please, if you can answer.
Yeah. I mean, right now, that's certainly what's happening. And the reason is that we are not aware of what's going on. We're not monitoring it. We're not managing it properly, responsibly. Obviously, we can't and don't want to keep out Chinese students. I think that would be a great fail on our part, on the part of open societies. But we need to look at what they're studying, what collaborations are being signed by universities, by research institutes, by companies, who are the partners. You know, there needs to be a great deal more awareness of who's doing what, where, when, how, and why. And this is simply a body of knowledge and ultimately law enforcement too, and also legal reactions, for example, that we need to build up. So I've been tracking a lot of this stuff in Germany for a while now. And, you know, one thing that the great group here that organizes the professionals who, you know, begin the talent pipeline in the Chinese Student Scholar Associations and then go on and work with one of the leading German institutes, such as the ones developing the new lasers up in Hamburg at XFEL, or the guys in Switzerland who are at CERN, you know, that, or say Heidelberg, where we have basically entire laboratories where most of the researchers are from China now. Now, this is a question of responsibility for the institution organizers, for the people who run these institutions. And in my experience, they are completely unaware or in denial and don't want to know, don't want to face the realities of the sort of political system behind these individuals, and just want to pretend like it's all nice, you know, democratic open house style sharing, which of course works in a narrow Western European or European context, but is really incredibly ignorant when it comes to dealing with China and the Communist Party. So no, I mean, we can't keep people out, but we do need to manage where they go, what they do, what they work on. And we need to be aware of all the organizations, the professional associations, the Federation of Chinese Professional Associations in Europe, and how they organize technology transfer, competitions, talent spotting, etc. You know, that SCPAE, the Federation of Chinese Professional Associations in Europe, which does so much of this work here in Europe, is headquartered in Frankfurt. I've been there. It's like a cut out. It's like a fake premise. They register as a charity, and they state in their zhangcheng, in their constitution, if you like, that they are a non-political organization. And they do that to get charitable status in Germany. Now, this is of course inaccurate, because they are a political organization. They carry out their aims and they represent the interests of the Communist Party of China. We must be absolutely clear about that. We need to force them to deregister and re-register as a political organization and show, simply be transparent and clear about where they take orders from and in what interests they agitate. You know, they work, they push, they plan, they organize, because the FCPAE holds events all over Europe. They had one in Helsinki, the last one was in Dublin, and they invite very senior United Front leaders from Beijing to come to these events, who then liaise with the embassy and liaise with all the students and make all these patriotic emotional appeals. And, you know, when you're talking about Germany, for example, you're talking about one of the major venues of talent, of technology extraction in the world. We've got really high level, massive programs going on here that I've, you know, we wrote a chapter about that in the book. And it's really like fishing in a trout farm. You know, you just start looking and bang, it's all there. There is so much fish coming out, you know, once you start looking. So long answer to your question, which is, you know, no, we just need to get a lot smarter about who comes and what they do and how we deal with them.
Thank you, Didi. Professor Lomova, I would like to add something. So, Professor, the floor is yours.
Okay, I just wanted to do a brief remark, which is actually a follow-up of what Didi said. I think what we lack and what's the basis for any future successful tackling of these problems is a sort of self-reflection, understanding the basic issues of political systems, and simply Chinese political system is not just one option of many other excellent political systems, or better or worse political systems, but it is an anti-system system in terms of our European environment. And we should be more self-confident. I always think about Xi Jinping's campaign started a few years ago, force self-confidences. And among the self-confidences, prominence is in self-confidence of being a socialist country based on the ideas of Marxism-Leninism. So we should also build self-confidence and be aware that the political system in China actually breaks and has no scruples, doesn't care about any existing rules, good faith, etc., because it is this very type of a political system. So this is, I mean, the duty of people who understand the political system of China to bring awareness to this. It is not just that some people may believe that democracy has also a lot of problems, and here we are having this socialism, which is, after all, for many people, a very positive word. And we should really explain and make people aware of what kind of partner we are dealing with and how much we can trust this partner. And another level another problem which we should be aware, I think Martin in his opening remark mentioned corporate greed, and I would mention university or academic greed. And this greed is very often also caused by under-financing, and universities generally never have too much money and will be never satisfied with more and more money, because this is what is needed for developing good programs and research and so on and so on. And since the Chinese are interested in very specific topics and very specific fields, just as we are talking about it now, the experts just don't think about the political consequences. They think about the opportunities. They are delighted to be able to serve the mankind, as we heard from Philip Jarosz's presentation, or simply just to have an opportunity to do their research. And some may be even very happy to get some extra money. So I think these two things have to be taken into consideration and have to be openly discussed, because if we don't openly discuss this with broader public, we will get into trouble. We are actually already in a big trouble.
Thank you very much. Did you do want to add something?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, Olga. And in fact, there is a little bit of discussion starting up about how to manage this problem of returning maybe academic values and financing to universities, for example, rather than the business model, which is dominated for some decades now. But you know, I mean, In Germany, you know, the government is still highly involved in the universities and funds them very heavily. And of course, we still have this problem here. And, you know, it's tied to the size of the German economy and also to the German stance in Europe, which has for a long time now been to put Germany first in Europe, often to the detriment of the European neighbours. And there's a little bit of recognition and even embarrassment, I think, growing about that now here in Germany at the very top. But it's going to, you know, take a real examination of our capitalist systems as well in order to analyse and properly deal with this problem, as you say, because the money is the reason for so much of this collaboration. Anyway, just thank you.
Thank you, Didi. Actually, there is one more question to you and Audrey as well, so let me read it from our chat. But again, I would like to ask all of you, if you have questions to our speakers, please write them to our chat or use our Facebook, where you can post them under our broadcasting. So this question to Didi and Audrey is from Frank Juris. He said, thank you, Didi and Audrey, for enlightening presentations. Could you please elaborate on the awareness of issues mentioned among policymakers? For example, potential risks of foreign funding to China, capabilities building under the European Union's Horizon program. So I don't know if you can start. I'm not sure if Audrey is still there. Yes, still have Audrey. So please, if you can start, and then I'll ask Audrey to
add. Okay, if you like it that way around, that's great. Frank, yeah, we Horizon. Horizon 2020, Horizon Europe. Yeah, there's a whole section in this book. My apologies for constantly referring to it, but there's good reason. It's all in there. There's a whole section about the EU funding. Now, my experience of doing that reporting, because those are the sections, I was responsible for those sections, as well as others, was that it was extremely difficult to get a straight answer from the EU, either in Brussels or in Beijing. It literally took about 3 months, maybe even 4 months, before I was finally able to figure out exactly how much money I think they were putting in, where, what was going on, what was the phase of this agreement, what was in it, what wasn't. Fairly basic questions, actually, considering that this was EU money, taxpayers' money. And my overriding sense, to be honest with you, was that they are aware of the dilemma that they are currently in with China, but they have made deep commitments in the science and technology sphere. And indeed, the European Union continues to collaborate with China on nuclear research, for example. You know, that there's a lot of vested interests, there's a lot of jobs, there's a lot of reputations, there's a lot of legacies involved here. They are very reluctant to disengage. The EU export control regime of sensitive technologies, which is anyway kind of ridiculous when you consider military civilian fusion scheme, but they still cling on to this fig leaf that there's a difference between military and civilian use. But the regimes themselves are completely full of holes, are very inadequate, shall we say. So yeah, you know, I mean, I literally, there was a meeting in December 2019 of top EU sort of universities and officials, science and technology officials who deal with China research, joint research. And we asked myself and my co-editor, Hinak, Feldfisch Trentrup, we asked for some information about the meeting under EU freedom of information rules and were rejected twice on the grounds that disclosing what had been discussed at this meeting about how to handle scientific cooperation with China moving forward would damage international relations with the People's Republic of China. So there you go. EU, not so democratic, frankly, and certainly not very open. That was, for me, quite a shock. So I'm critical of the willingness to be open about the state of science and technology cooperation between the EU and China. I think the EU is protecting itself. I think it's protecting its interests. I think there's a lot going on that should be stopped.
Thank you very much, Didi. And now I would like to ask Audrey to answer to this question.
Yeah, so I am based in the U.S., so I can speak a bit more to sort of the U.S. approach to universities and knowledge about military civil fusion. And I think that more recently, there's definitely been, under the Trump administration, there's been a move to sort of focus on military civil fusion. So it's definitely now something that people in the administration are under, or perhaps not understanding necessarily, but they're taking more actions than are being taken in other countries. But I think largely it has taken a fairly long time to sort of raise awareness on this issue. And I had started researching military civil fusion about 2 years ago, and it was something that no one really, not many people were talking about or taking actions on. But there's definitely the same sort of apprehension of universities towards sort of the military civil fusion strategy and addressing these issues that are associated with it. And so the FBI, their new cases that they're sort of looking into the universities and these affiliations with the CCP and the military. It's a very expansive issue. And so I think it's difficult to sort of find the fine line between, continuing cooperation and being with and coming from the universities who, don't really want to acknowledge these issues. And then also, not having sort of like a flat out ban on people from being able to come to US universities. So it's definitely become something that is more more broadly discussed in the US at least. So I think actions are beginning to be taken.
Thank you very much, Audrey. And there's one more question to you. There is Luke McWilliams asking, from next Monday, UK government will ask all incoming Chinese students to disclose military links. UK's academic technology approval scheme will be expanded to include advanced conventional military technology. How likely is this to be effective? How could Chinese military and military-linked university circumvent this? Please, Audrey, if you are still here.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely, I think it's a bit tricky to be able to sort of identify these links with the PLA or Chinese military. And in sort of Alex's report for the China Defense Universities Tracker, we looked at some instances where people with military affiliations sort of completely don't disclose any of that information, and they it just sort of remains anonymous, their links to the PLA. And so I think in my experience, it's something that definitely requires extensive sort of research into being able to find sort of transparent sources that would declare this. And I can't speak quite as much to UK and the specific plan, which maybe Didi can. But I definitely think it is difficult to sort of be able to identify these affiliations, and it's definitely possible for them to continue not disclosing this information.
Thank you very much. If there is no more questions,
just apropos that issue, it's very interesting that around the time the Houston consulate was shut down in the US for espionage, primarily technology transfer, including medical and energy related issues mostly, in July, the Department of State shut the Chinese consulate in Houston down. At the same time, about between 30 and 50 interviews were conducted across the US of researchers from China who were believed to have committed visa fraud by saying that they were engaged in, you know, regular civilian style medical or scientific research, but in fact they were linked to PLA tied institutions. And, you know, you can research this, you can prove this, and you can manage the situation. And it's very interesting that they started to try to do that in the US. And I'm frankly, I think it's very encouraging that they're starting to deal with this in the UK as well. I would only wish that the same thing would happen in Germany and in France and in other European countries.
Thank you. I will once more check all our chats, but I can't see any more questions. We have a few questions that Alex already answered via our chat, because he already left our group. So if you sign up for our chat, you can go through and read these questions and answers. They are mostly about PLA and last Alex research. So please feel free. I'm not going to read them now. But if there are no more questions, I will ask you for 15 minutes or half hour break. So it's the time for coffee, maybe for some of you lunch or dinner, and we will meet again at 4 p.m. CST, and we will start our second panel. It's actually called panel number one, and it's about the CCP's human rights abuses and global responses. So please, if you have time, join us also for the second panel. Till then, see you later.